Bayard was preached his final message in the Institute that this is a sad time. It's a joyous time and a sad time. You ever have them mixed up, you know? You're excited about getting back home and those kind of things, but people like you, Brother Jim said, was in the restroom down there and praying for you. Y'all been praying for me all week. Y'all praying for me before I got here. And I just as nervous as can be, and I'm still nervous, as brethren said. Whenever you stand here to proclaim God's Word, if you're not nervous, something's wrong. But there's an ease I don't know exactly the word that I'm looking for, but after the first night and feeling y'all's love and all, knowing that you'd been praying for me before, but seeing you and getting to know you a little bit and what a difference it's made. What a love and church you have, and just trust that the Lord will continue to bless and send laborers into the field and work and all those kind of things. So we're going to miss getting up and being here Sunday morning. But we're going to enjoy, if the Lord allows us, being at Faith Missionary Baptist Church, or even tonight if He allows us to get there, realizing it's all in His hand, get to Walnut Ridge. We have nursing home service tonight, and I told the folks that I didn't know if I'd be able to make it back or not, and for Brother Terry Lawson to be on standby or whatever. He's great. He's been teaching adult Sunday school class, and so him and some other brethren filled in Wednesday night while I was gone, and I said, you just be on standby and all, and we'll let you know if we're going to make it or not whenever we get out of service and those kind of things. So I'm excited to get back home, but what a joy to have been here, been in Brother Cecil and Sister Mary's home and agitated them or whatever we might have done there and all, and get up to breakfast in the morning and just have a time of fellowship. I just can't say enough. And as I came, I said the first night I didn't want to cause any troubles, you know, any doctrinal problems or any of those kind of things. And I was scared, and I prayed about coming and all. I said, well, James has got 5 chapters. If I just read James 5 chapters during the week, I know I can't go wrong just reading His Word. But He's given me more than that. So y'all going to have to read the rest of James, because I'm sure we're not going to get through it today. I'm sure, because we're getting into this old part where the tongue's at, you know, and all, and I'm just sure that we won't get all the other 3 chapters read and gone through today. But you'll be blessed if you'll read it. If you'll read it. I some months ago at Faith, I said I'd like for the church to do something together, you know, as a whole body, and just encourage them to read through the book of John. Just take a chapter a week and just as a whole church. And it wasn't that we sat in the congregation and read John, you know, but I said, as members of Faith Missionary Baptist Church, you read the book of John, read a chapter each week and all, and it turned out to be a great blessing. You know, the folks, I'd hear comments about it. I don't know how many of them read it. We didn't put a schedule out. Had a visitor one time, says, where's your schedule for reading through the book of John? And I said, I don't have a schedule to read through it. It's up to you as church members to read through it. And that was a visitor asking that and all. And so I had several comments saying, Lord, just use that to get me back into reading, get me back into studying God's Word. And you can't read hardly God's Word and run across the passage and say, what's that say over in Genesis about that? What's that say over in Revelation about that? And you just get fired up about it. And so we finished up John. Now we're starting in Ezekiel, reading through that. So we won't get James done, so you read the other. Wherever I leave off today, you go ahead and read it on a daily basis or a weekly basis or something, and the Lord will bless you for it. In chapter 3, James chapter 3, and it's going to be a little, gets on my toes quite a bit, this old tongue. You say, well, you've been around me a little bit. Maybe you've seen that here. I don't know. I'm not much of a conversationalist, you know. I kind of quiet back and don't have a lot to say and those kind of things and all, but yet this, you gotta watch this old tongue. You gotta say, Lord, give me some guidance. We're gonna see that it's not even tameable. You know, he says, my brethren, verse 1, be not many masters, knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation. For in many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man and able also to bridle the whole body. Behold, we put bits. We're going to stop there at verse 2 and just make a comment about this being many masters. It's a double-edged sword or whatever, you know. If the Lord has blessed you to be one of those kind of jack-of-all-trades, you know, just about anything that you come up to and all you're not afraid to tackle it, and maybe over the years He's allowed you time to have tackled several things, and you know quite a bit about several things. You have to discipline yourself. I said the other night, we don't like these folks that whenever you go to say something that you've done, it don't take that long for that person just to yell, and they've done it more and better and longer than you have. You know, it don't take you long to just shut down. So whatever the Lord has allowed you to have many, He says here, don't be a master of many, doesn't He? He says, my brethren, be not many masters, knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation. You know, masters of different things that you can do, it gets you a little bit in a predicament, you know. I shared the other night at home, you know, that if you know how to do it, don't hesitate to get in there and do it. You know, but don't get in there to show me that you know how to do it. Show off type thing, you know. Get in there because you know how to do it. And if I don't know how to do it and I sense and I know that you know how better than I do, I'm just in there fumbling around trying to do something because nobody else jumped in. And you come up and you know how to do it. I need to back up and say, go, what can I do to help you, brother or sister? How can I help you in this thing, you know? You're a master of that, and I just happened to be the one that was there at the time, you know, and was willing to try, not knowing whether I could do it or not, but willing to step in there, back up. Don't get the old big head and all that. Well, I've got to do this to show these people something. Lord's in charge, folks, and just trust Him and back up and say, praise God, you come along. And don't jump out to be lazy, but jump out because the other person is better equipped as the skills to do the job. He says, be careful about being many masters. You're going to have the greater condemnation, you know. This is sad, but this is you just see it in Independence here. You see it at Faith. You've seen it at, I've seen it at Beautiful Acres. I've seen it at the Mission. Folks will let you do. We got a lazy nature about us. And we need to encourage those folks. Hey, you know, to come on upside me. Come on and get on board. You can know. You can learn. I'm just doing it because you're not doing it. You know, I'm just doing it because you're not doing it. Learn that. Get in that and do some, you know, and trust the Lord. And you could take this verse and say, well, I'm just going to pick out one thing, you know. If you're in a Baptist church and you love the Lord and you're wanting to serve the Lord, the chances are there's going to be many things in that church that you're going to be able to be involved in. Why? Because you know, it we're just got some lazy folks, and that what that says. Well, David, you're on fire and stuff, and all. No, it's not what that says. It just that you jump in and you go ahead and do it. And if you'll get up and go to doing it, Brother Wayne will have more time. Piano player will have more time. And Lord, needs to bless with more piano players. I heard my wife talking about the other day at one church where we was at there, and I guess it's Beautiful Acres. I'm not sure whether the guy said, do you know how to play the piano? And that person was just kind of let down because the pastor's wife didn't know how to play the piano. You know, just but get in there and don't be afraid. And that's what did the Lord tell Joshua? You know? Yeah, and be not afraid and get on step up, folks, and help Brother Wayne. And I sense that you do, but you're around some that's kind of a little bit not as energetic or not as whatever, that you need to kind of just rub up against them and let some of that rub off, you know, and encourage them and let them know it's all right. You'll get in there if you want to get in there. If verse 2, for many things we offend all, if we have many masters. If any man offend not in word, now listen to this, the same as a perfect man and able also to bridle the whole body. Oh, if you can keep from offending in word. If you can keep it's a hard thing. It's a hard thing to keep from offending in words but if you love the Lord and you're striving to do what you're supposed to do and living for Him, you'll have these kind of experiences happen to you out there in the world. You'll be and you're not perfect, as brother said. If you don't get whipping, something's wrong. Because till we get out of this body, till the Lord comes and delivers us completely out of this body and to be with Him, we're going to have some faults. But if you're trying to live for the Lord and control yourself, you'll walk into some place at a work situation. This is what happened to me one time. Folks were sitting in an office, and I walked in and said something, and I don't remember what I said, but could be twisted to be vulgar. And one of the people sitting in that office said, if anybody else would have said that, that would have been ugly. Now folks, if that don't say something to you, whenever you're trying to live for the Lord, and it's a testimony, it's not David, it's not all those kind of things, but when you're trying to live for the Lord and you're able to live in such a way that they know whenever you say something that the world can take and twist and make it vulgar, and they know that you don't do that, oh, what a blessing that was, you know, to see. And that's what you do, is you study James and you study from Genesis to Revelation. As you stay in there and dig into it, the Lord gives you that, and it has an impact out there on the workplace, because they see that you're trying to serve the Lord and honor the Lord and glorify the Lord. And whatever comes out of your mouth, whatever you're doing, whatever is to honor and glorify Him, it's not to be ugly or to twist or turn or whatever. You've controlled your life in such a way that, by the power of God, you know, but you understand, the Lord gave you that, and you're able to step in, and they say, if anybody else has said that. And that's why folks out there, whenever you're living in right with the Lord, and you're going to church on a regular basis, and you're studying on Monday and Tuesday, Wednesday and Thursday, Friday, Saturday, you don't just count on Brother Wayne or a Sunday school teacher and all. You're getting in it on a daily basis. You're spending time in your prayer closet. And I think prayer is where we need to start with, and then we go into the Word, you know. Say, Lord, give me wisdom. Lord, open up my understanding as I read Your Word. And just watch what they say. And whenever you're around them and they know you love the Lord, and they blurt out these cuss words, they go, excuse my French. And folks, that opens you up a door to be a witness. I like what Brother John prayed in his prayer, that we not only be a witness in action, but we be a witness in letting them see and letting them know. I've heard folks use, and I read this somewhere about the individual that done this, and it just motivated me, encouraged me to do this. But you know, they ask God to do some bad things sometimes whenever you're around them. And if you just back up, say, wait, if God answers that prayer, I don't want to be close. It's going to get serious. Had a supervisor one time, he used foul language quite a bit, and things would just mess up at work. You know, they just didn't flow together. And I looked at him one day and I says, you're getting exactly what you asked for. You know? That's what you're asking for. That's what your words are saying for the line to break down. And he said, oh, no, no, no. And I pointed out what he's doing, and he thought about that. I don't know if it changed his mind or not, or any of those kind of things. But, you know, if we're able to control, if any man offend not in word, the same as perfect man and able also to bridle the whole body. That reaches out there a little bit further, doesn't it? Driving down the highway and there's that billboard with a half-naked woman on it or a half-naked man. It doesn't make any difference in this day and age that we live in. If you're able to glance up there and never look back, you've done some controlling. You've done some controlling. God has blessed you with food there that you're able to just go on, you know. You couldn't help seeing the first time, but you could help dwelling on it. You could help from looking back at it or pulling over the side of the road and taking it in. And so, you see? Oh, listen, it's good stuff. whole body. Behold, we put the bits in the horse's mouth that they may obey us, and we turn about their whole body. Behold also the ships, with though they be a great and driven of fierce winds, yet are they turned about with a very small helm, whithersoever the governor listeth. Even so the tongue is a little member and boasteth great things. Behold how great a matter a little fire kindleth. And we're just going to read on all the way down, and when we're going back up to it, it says verse 6, and the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members, that it defileth the whole body, and setteth on fire the course of nature, and it sets on fire of hell. For every kind of beast, and of birds, and of serpents, and of things in the sea is tamed, and hath been tamed of mankind. But the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. Therewith bless we God, even the Father, and therewith curse we men, which are made after the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceedeth blessings and cursings. My brethren, these things ought not to be. Doeth a fountain send forth at the same place sweet water and bitter water? Can the fig tree, my brethren, bear olive berries, either a vine figs? So can no fountain both yield salt water and fresh. Who is a wise man and endureth with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom. But if we have bitter envying and strife in our heart, in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth. This wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, devilish. For where envying and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceful, gentle, and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. And the fruits of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. Verse 4, behold the ship. Behold the ship. And did you catch it, how it was powered by that wind that we don't understand, we can't decide about? That's how that ship's powered. Our ships today are powered. God has allowed us wisdom to put motors in there and all those kind of things. I get caught up sometimes in thinking what God has allowed man to do. Go to the moon and got things headed toward Mars and all those kind of things. That's where the stars are polluted, isn't it? We're touching them. We're touching them. I used to wonder why God was going to have to burn it all, you know, just burn it all. And one day the Lord opened up my mind and said, well, I landed on the moon, and if I landed on the moon, if man landed on the moon, I didn't actually land on the moon, but man landed on the moon, that dirtied it up. Everywhere that I touch dirties it up, you know. It makes a mess out of it. So we're in a quite different mode of being able to move about. We don't have to count on the winds, you know. It might be better if we did go back to counting on the wind, but they move the ship, the wind moves the ship, and yet they're turned about with a very small helm, whatsoever the governor lives, just a little old bitty thing under there, and you turn it this way, and that great big old ship, it starts going to, you know, it's amazing. It's amazing how little of a turn that you can, and it starts turning that ship. Can you imagine what it will do for your life and my life if we get into God's Word and we spend 10 minutes, 5 minutes? You say, we're busy, busy people, you know, and we are. But if we're so busy we can't get 5 minutes to spend in God's Word, we need to look and say, something needs to shut down a little bit. And you'll find out if you get to spend 5 minutes in it, next thing you know, you'll say, you know, I might not eat breakfast this morning, I'll spend 10 minutes in it. You know, you might say, well, I'll not eat lunch and I'll spend 30 minutes in it or whatever. You'll find yourself spending more time in it with just start with a little bit. Oh, it makes a difference. These great ships are turned wherever they want to go, and then he goes into the tongue in verse 5. So the tongue is a little member. A little member. That's what you're hearing rattling up here and this week, you know, and all. It's a little member. It's real small compared to the rest of this body, and it's real small compared to our littlest child. It's thrilled my heart to see these young people this week around here, and then whenever we come in the mornings and during the week, and they was all sat over here and they took notes, and they, oh, it thrilled my heart to see and know how the Lord has using independence to teach these young people and all to grow. The tongue's a little member. A little member. So the tongue is a little member and boasts great things. Behold, how great a matter a little fire kindleth. All that tongue can get me in a lot of trouble, can get you in a lot of trouble, and we need to learn to put a bridle on it or muzzle on it or something, you know, sometimes. But most of the time, our tongue engages before this up here engages, or before this engages. And it's a fight, it's a work, it's a battle to say, tongue, shut up just a little bit. Tongue, don't even start. Let that brother start. Let that brother talk before you get started. Let that get finished. I go back to Peter, James, and John up on the Mount of Transfiguration. If Peter would have put a bridle on his tongue, I wonder how long that scene would last. I wondered how long it did last. You know, I don't have any idea. But just soon as he spoke, the Lord cleared it up real good, didn't he? He says, you listen to Jesus. You listen to my son. That's who you listen to. Whenever the preacher's preaching, whenever the teacher's teaching, out of God's Word, you listen to what God's Word's saying through that preacher or through that teacher. If he goes to doing something else out of God's Word, out away from it, you shut down, all right? But you be ready to come back on. Brother Wayne mentioned about turning the volume down and those kind of things. We need to have it in our spirit. Ask the Lord to give you that in your spirit to be able to say, well, now, Brother David, he's going off on a tangent here. He's chasing a rabbit, but let me keep enough away to know whenever that rabbit chase is over with and I get back into God's Word. That's the Holy Spirit coming to guide and to teach us. I mentioned the other night about the meals that we had and how this body is taking it in and this sifting it out, you know, and all that. The Holy Spirit. Folks, it's serious that we listen to what we hear and say, Lord, sift that out. Holy Spirit, take that out. And I just want those golden nuggets of your word, Lord, out of it. I don't want that man's personality. I don't want that woman's personality. I want to hear what they had to say that came from you, Lord. Not what, you know, we need to ask the Lord to give that, and that's what the Holy Spirit takes as He feeds this new creature inside, this born-again part, this part that does not sin. It bothers me. Some brethren some time ago was talking about some folks that say they live above sin. Well, it might have been Brother Cecil Fayard and talked about being above a bar, you know. I believe it was him. I know he mentioned it. That's the only way you can live above sin, you know. Guess what was in that above sin? A sin there, wasn't it? You know, if I'm living up there, it's some people, I've worked with a guy, you know, that I couldn't convince him, and wasn't my job to convince him. It's just my job to let him know, you know. Holy Spirit's job to do it. The tongue. Kindles a lot. In verse 6, he says, the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. That almost makes me want to just get mine taken out, Brother Wayne. Just get taken out, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members, that it defileth the whole body, and setteth on fire the course of nature, and is set on fire of hell. All that tells me I need to watch this old tongue. I need to be concerned about what's coming out of this thing. It's kind of like the other night when I mentioned about Brother Cecil and having all the preachers at his house and all. This old tongue can twist that and make it a good thing, a bad thing, and all those kind of things. And sometimes what we try to say in our hearts and comes out of our mouth doesn't go into your heart and your ears like it's, we thought it come out of our mouth. And it's hard to convince somebody that I didn't mean for you to receive that the way that it was, that you received it. And you just can't hardly bring it about to get it said the way you feel it and all. They just not words, you know. I think of Brother Raymond Johnson translating the Bible into the Choctaw language and those kind of things, and talks about, well, there's just not a Choctaw word for this. And I've heard other situations where there's, well, it's just hard to find a word. You read through the King James Bible, and whenever you see italics word, what does that tell you? You see, it's a substitute. It gets you to. So our communication sometimes, as God's people, we ought to say, well, you know, I ain't really cut deep, but did Brother David really mean it that way, or is there something in my life that the Holy Spirit is saying that He brought it to me in that way so that it would get my attention about a certain thing? Instead of getting mad at Brother David, get to searching and saying, "Let Lord, just give me some insight. I felt something different, and if Brother David said it for meanness, you work on Brother David, but you work on me to see, you know." And God's He's vengeance is His, right? If I'm doing something mean to you, brother and sister, if you know it's intentionally, then you've got something that you can stand on and those kind of things. If you don't know it's intentionally, if it's it's just something that hits you different than what I meant, the Holy Spirit has got some work to do it, you see. All the tongue, sometimes it is used for pure meanness. Pure meanness. There's no doubt about it. There wasn't no mistaking that's what happened, you know. They intended to cut you with that tongue. They intended to hurt you at that time. But sometimes I wouldn't have thought he'd have said that. I wouldn't have thought he'd have done that. He surely didn't mean it that way. And whenever those thoughts are there, and the Holy Spirit digest it some, and if you just can't get away, we'll go to Brother David and say, you know what I received, and you pray that Brother David has got the patience or whatever that he needs to hear what you've got to say without jumping up and saying, that ain't what I meant, blah, 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 you know. Give you time to hear. Give you time to speak to him. Pray that Brother David has that whenever you go to him. And we need to have that open communication and not let the old flesh get in the way. Verse 7 says, "For every kind of beast, of birds and of serpents and of things in the sea, and is tamed and hath been tamed of mankind." Everything has been tamed. I seen a picture just this week, and I forget where it was at. I know it had bit Brother Cecil's house and all, but there's the guy that trains a horse whisperer. Okay. Had all these horses out there that they'd been working on in this picture, and some of them had their heads laid down and their rump up in the air, and these guys sitting on it, tamed them, made them work, you know. Oh, it's a dog to see that dog be trained, and I heard of one that could say, "Go get the cows to milk," you know, and the guy'd sit at home, and the dog go out there and bring the cows. They'd been trained. Been trained. These dolphins that come up out of the water, you know, and do those things. Been trained. By who? People like you and me. You say, "Oh, I could never do it." Get the book, folks. You can follow instruction. If the horse whisperer's been able to teach that, you may never accomplish what he's been able to teach you and those kind of things, but you can follow his instructions and get the same results over time. It'll work. It's just a matter of getting down and taking time and doing that. They've all been tamed of mankind, but in verse 8, the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil full of deadly poison. It's an unruly evil and full of deadly poison. Well, I just well forget it, James. I can't get this tongue under control. You just told me it's not tameable. It's not being able to control it and all that. I might as well give up and just say, "All right, just whatever rolls out there, just have to take it, and I'll just have to receive it, whatever rolls out." We're going to see something that tells us that James knows better than that. Knows better and teaching us better, and if we'll get a hold of it and digest it and all, it'll be a difference. But he says we tame all these other things, but we can't tame this tongue. He says therewith in verse 9, "We bless God, even the Father, and therewith curse we men, which are made after the similitude of man." Have you thought about it? Blessings and cursing coming out of this mouth. Oh, as the brother mentioned about the world getting excited sometimes whenever Christians get in trouble, you know, and it looks like that, and all we get it, and we do it too sometimes. We as God's people see something happen to somebody, and we know they've been not living the right way, and those kind of things, or maybe they appear to be maybe like a Cain and Abel situation, you see. I know that was the world and Abel being the righteous one, bringing the right sacrifice and all those kind of things. But sometimes us Christian brethren and sisters, we kind of tippy-toe up when somebody gets a whipping. And we ought to tippy-toe down and say, Lord, how can I help them? How can I help them? We kind of want to jump in and beat upon them. And at the same time, you don't want to make it to where that I'm feeling okay about the sin that I got a whipping for, you see. You don't want to make me feel okay about it. So it gets a little touchy that you have to ask the Lord to give this tongue the right kind of thing to do for that brother or sister, you know, in that whipping situation. Sometimes you get a pat on the back and you've been sinning, and you kind of take comfort in it and that wasn't too bad, you know. But you need to take comfort in that you had a brother or sister that was willing to stand by you, that the church knew it was a public thing and they knew what you was going to do. And you ought to take comfort that there's one of the church people, the saved people, that stood by you and not to encourage you in the sin, but stood by you as you grieved through that whipping, as you recovered from that whipping, because you have to recover, folks. If you're not careful, you'll just leave, because it's a shame to be around God's people. Old Jerry Clower told of a lady that was going through a divorce and all those kind of things, and they visited her and she said, I just can't come down there, you know, it's just a shame. And Jerry said, that's where you need to be, among God's people, praying for you and helping you, and encouraged her to get where God would have her to be. Glory in the church, not glory out there running by yourself and all those things. Glory in the church, you know. Use that tongue, Jerry did, to encourage her and all. Whether she followed that encouragement or not, we don't know. I don't know anyway. But at least ways he stepped beside her and encouraged her. We need to step beside and encourage and help, and at the same time let them know that you're not putting an okay on what they've done. What you're doing is loving them and encouraging them in the Lord to get back in service for Him. Using that tongue for that purpose and that reason. Verse 10, out of the same mouth proceeds blessings and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not to be so. Well, James, back up there, you said you couldn't tame the tongue in verse 8. Well, he's saying that something's got to control the tongue, ain't he? Because he's saying this had no to be blessings and cursing coming out of the same mouth, off the same tongue and those kind. This ought not to be so. So there's some place that the Lord's going to give us power and grace to control this tongue. And if we think about, if we can just make ourselves, Lord, what do I need to say? Lord, do I need to say anything? Do I need to say anything? All silence is deafening, isn't it? You know, we just can't hardly stand to be silent for a little while. But sometimes we need to be silent, because that's the Holy Spirit. He needs us to shut up so that we can hear. You know, it's hard for me to hear you while I'm talking. It's hard for you to talk to me while I'm talking. You know, that's not long ago I was talking to And I forget just what it was, but I said, I had to tell my grandson, shut up, I'm talking. You know? Sometimes we have to look at somebody and say, wait just a minute. Hold that thought, hold that question, write it down or something. We've got something else to deal with right now. And if you can just hold that for a little bit, we'll come back to you. And if I forget to come back to you and we get shut up, you wave that hand, you know, it'll get my attention to that we might say it. He says we ought not to be so. We had nor to be blessing and cursing out of the same mouth. And I just imagine he'd rather us be blessing than cursing, don't you? Yeah. I realize that if they sin around us, we need to be saying so, you know. We need to be able to look at those individuals that are involved in sin with a loving heart and a kind heart and with a strong word from the Lord and confidence in our saying, that's wrong, brother, that's wrong, sister, and point out, you know, the Lord said. And then that individual has to do something with it. You don't call that cursing or anything, but that's bringing it, and we often think about a blessing as something good coming out of our mouth and those kind of things. But we need to be able to say, Lord, give me that I need to say. Had a young man that I worked with several years ago that was in the dating stage and all, and him and his girlfriend, and she became pregnant. It takes two, folks. It takes two. He says, I'm not ready to be a daddy. He says, we're going to have an abortion. We're going to have her an abortion. I wonder how many ladies, young women go through that the boyfriend says, I don't want to be a daddy yet. Let's get that aborted, you know. Let's get that. Listen, I looked the guy in the eyes. Looked him in the eyes and I said, it's a little bit late. You are a daddy. You're not going to be a daddy. You are a daddy. Wasn't no going to be a daddy in 9 months or whatever. You are a daddy. Now the question is, do you want to be the daddy of a dead baby or a live baby? That was the question. It wasn't, you know, the fact was he was already a daddy. I don't know if it had an impact on him or not. Don't know what happened, as talking to him later that maybe they didn't have the abortion, you know. I'm not 100% sure about that. I know they got married later on, they have children now. So maybe the Lord took that and made him think about it, and it didn't make any difference what they done. He was already a daddy. And maybe the Lord took that and put it on his heart and put it on his mind to think about it. Now, that's right. I'm already a daddy. Now, am I a daddy to a live baby or a dead baby? It makes you think. Makes you think. We ought to have, Lord give you control over that tongue. Give you control over that tongue. He gave me control over there to be able to look that man in the eye and tell him those things. He gave you the control over that tongue, to exercise that control over the tongue, that power over that tongue. Knocked on the door one night and asked the guy. May have already shared this with you, but if I did, you'll get it again. What can I do for you? We usually go through the routine, you know, we're from Independence Baptist Church, we're out visiting, blah, blah, blah. I don't know just how y'all do it, you know. And that's normally our introduction, you know. I'm so-and-so, and this is so-and-so with me, and he opened the door, we knocked on it, and he said, what can I do for you? I said, come to church Sunday. Come to church Sunday. The control of the tongue, the Lord gives you as you seek Him, as you look for Him, as you try to grow, and then you do what you ought to. Then you do what you ought to do. In verse 10, brethren, my brethren, these things ought not so to be. Whenever you're trying to do what the Lord's called you to do, and as I mentioned the other night, every saved person here, the Lord has called you to do something. It's not, we're not all called pastors or preachers, we're not all called evangelists, we're not all called all those things, but if He saved you, He's called you to be a faithful servant for Him. It might be that He calls you to preach later on, it might be that He does different things, but we need to realize that as we knock on doors, as we hand out tracts, as whatever, that He's blessed and He's given you this tongue to use to honor and glorify Him. It ought to be a blessing to God. It hadn't ought to be a cursing out, you know, it hadn't ought to be those kind of things. James says, you ought not to be cursing and blessing out of the same mouth. It ought to, and if we're walking with the Lord, walking in the light, it's going to be a good things coming out of the mouth all the way, all the time. It's going to be an honor for the Lord in His presence. And it's a fight. I like what Paul said over there. I have fought a good fight. Listen to it. It wasn't a boastful man. It wasn't I'm better than you are or anything. you know right now, if you're fighting a good fight to try to do what the Lord would have you to do, you know if you're trying to control that tongue to where it honors and glorifies the Lord, you know if you're using it the way that we ought to use it as brothers and sisters in Christ. We know when old temper gets a hold of us and those kind of things and all that we do something wrong. And we need to say, folks, Lord, I'm sorry. But what we usually say, that's just the way I am. You're going to have to learn to live with it. There's no indication sometimes from me or some of the people that you come across with that we're willing to say, Lord, help me. Lord, give me control over my tongue. Lord, I don't want to be this way. Most of the time just say, well, y'all just got to change y'all's ways. You know, y'all just got to suck it up and live with me. You know, I'm just going to be this way. Instead of saying, Lord, help me. Or saying to you that we have said that to, pray for me. Pray for me. I know that wasn't Christian. I know that wasn't God honoring. I know that this old tongue spit out some stuff that wasn't pleasant. And you pray for me. You pray for me. And it won't hurt a thing if you stop whatever's going on right then and say, Lord, you've heard this person's request. You know their heart's desire. It won't hurt a thing. In fact, it might have a great impact, and the Lord might take and use that right then, not only for that person and for you, but whoever's standing around. To just stop and like what Brother Wayne said, you know, we have this routine about the song service and all those kind of things. Break that routine sometimes whenever. Don't say, well, we'll pray for that on Wednesday night. There might be, that might have been Sunday morning. There may be a few days before Wednesday night, and that person, no telling how many times that gets in a situation that he needed that help before then, you know. Lord, help me. You pray for me and help me. Ask that individual that as you there, it's you know that tongue got out of control. You just said things you hadn't ought to. Verse 11 and on down it says, doeth a fountain send forth at the same place, sweet water and bitter water. The same place, sweet water and bitter water. Only if the Lord brings it out of there, isn't it? There's a spring on Granny Thatcher's place, and y'all don't know Granny Thatcher, but down there in Arkansas, that boils out water. You have them up here in Missouri and around and all, and I don't, in the years that I've been drinking out of that, I have never had a bitter drink out of it. It always brings out good, clean water to drink and all. So we need to think about this old tongue as it goes about, don't we? It ought to be bringing out the good stuff. He talks about the fig tree, my brethren. Don't bear olive berries. A vine don't bear figs. So can both yield salt water and fresh water fountain. Oh, he brings in some good things. Look at verse 13. Who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom. Let him show out of his conversation. It ought to be a conversation that honors and glorifies God. It ought to be a conversation that edifies and builds up the membership of Independence Baptist Church. Oh, listen. It gets ugly in our services sometimes if we don't watch out. If you know that I've got sin, folks, if you know that there's something about it, don't take and tell everybody in the world, come to and say, let's pray about this. Let's get this out. Let's get this down and all. Whenever I go and tell a sin that of any brother or whatever, guess what it does? It just enlarges the problem. Because I'm not going to tell it exactly like it's supposed to be told. I'll put my slant on it or their slant on it it just won't come out the way it's supposed to be. But if I go to you and say, brother or sister, let's dip this in the bud, as they might say, you know, let's let's not be spreading it abroad. I've often told folks, you know how to stop a rumor, and once it leaves my lips to another person, it's a rumor. Because that other person is taking what I said and going with it. And they tell it to somebody else and it just builds and builds and builds. Folks, as God's children, and that's not to say let's pick up this rug and sweep that under there, just me and you will know about this sin and those kind of things. It's not that situation. If we're serious about it, we want that sin, we want the Lord to take and deliver and get us out of it and those kind of, and if we have to come before the church with it, He'll give us grace to come before the church with it, and it hadn't been spread out because I took it and told somebody else about it. It's come before the church because the Lord gave the person that sinned the power to come and say, folks, I've sinned, I've got a problem, and I publicly sinned, and I need your forgiveness, and I need your help to be able to stay away from that sin. Oh, listen. It's serious, folks, and we don't, old human nature and old tongue, it just goes wild and it goes to doing that. But good conversation and all, we need to do it. Look at verse 14. If we have bitterness, envy, and strife in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth. Lie not against the truth. Glory not. If we have bitter, envying, and strife in our hearts or in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth. This wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, and devilish. If we have bitter and envying in our hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth. This wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly. Strife and envying and all those kind of things and spreading that sin, that rumor around about a brother or sister that's sinning, that's not the Lord's work, folks. That's the old devil doing a work. Oh, he likes to stir up trouble. He's live and well. Brother mentioned the armor the other night, you know. And that's why it's important to have that armor on. It says we can, with that armor, quench those fiery darts. With that armor, you can look that brother or sister in the eye that you're talking with and about sin or that has come to you and all, and you can look that brother or sister and I with that whole armor on and not take that and spread it somewhere else. Because the old devil, he said, oh, go tell that. That'll deserve them. They've been acting this way and that way. That, you know, you got that whole armor on, you won't go doing that. You won't go doing that. Remember that we're in a spiritual battle. Remember, and we've got to fight, and the way you fight is standing on God's Word and not running and letting this old tongue build that fire up. You know, you get a little bitty coal, and if you get it there and you get the fan in it, it'll become a big old fire, won't it? You know what kind of fires we want to build? Those that are reviving fires, those that are stirring God's heart's fire. And you see souls saved in those, that's the one we want to revive, want to fan. Those coals that are sin coals, those coals that are not God honoring and all those kind of things, close that mouth up, because that tongue has a way of doing the fanning. That same tongue has a way of doing that fanning of God's blessed independence. You know, you'll leave here and you'll talk about the Bible Institute and you'll say, we had all these sickness and all those kind of things. And yet you'll say, oh, what a great time we had. How the Lord blessed. How the Lord stirred my heart. And how I wish those other folks wasn't sick. I kind of felt a little bit bad, you know. And Brother Arthur and Brother Cecil and the others that are sick, you know. Every time the old body had a little hiccup, you always, oh, is it my turn, you know? But take and use this and fan that excitement that the Lord has built in your heart today and use that tongue to be silenced about the old devil's work of making those folks sick and all that. If you want to, you know, use it as the old devil making them sick. I don't know what God's got in mind. I don't know why he let Job go through what he went through. I don't know why he's letting these folks go through this sickness and those kind of things. I don't know why he's not made me sick and caused me to get laid up. And say, I don't know all that. You know, I just know he's working. And he's got a work to do in your lives, these young people here, and all of us. He's got a work to do in our lives. We'll use this tongue, do what we're supposed to do. We'll see a great happening. If verse 16, where envy and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work. Where envy and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work. Envy and strife, it causes it. The old tongue will just take and fan it. Verse 17, but the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. You take a brother or sister that's sinned and you come up and you tell them, maybe you don't understand the sin they're in or what's got a hold of them, but you say, I know God will forgive you. You go over to 1 John 1:9 and you do what it says. He'll forgive you. And by the grace of God, we're going to just lift you up and trust you, trust the Lord to deliver you and give you that. And if this is a thing that you need to call me, if it's at midnight tonight, you call me at midnight tonight and we'll get you turned away from that. We won't get you turned away, but the Lord will, that'll be that person that is a physical kind. We don't see the Holy Spirit this morning, do we? We don't get a hold of Jesus. We wasn't like the disciples be able to hug him up and stuff, you know. But he sent back the comforter, and he's here, and he's causing, I might not ought to go down that way, but he's causing something in your heart. What I started to say was goosebumps. He stirs your hearts different ways with it, but you can just sense the Holy Spirit working, you know. He's working. Oh, we need to, this is pure wisdom from above. It's first pure, then peaceable, gentle, easy to be entreated, full of mercy, good fruits, without partiality and hypocrisy. Don't say one thing to the brother that sinned and all, and then go tell Brother Wayne something else. If you got to say something to Brother Wayne or Brother so-and-so or Sister so-and-so, we need to pray for Brother so-and-so. We need to pray for Sister so-and-so. And if you feel like that you need some help in some tools or whatever to pray for that person, well, ask for them, you know, if you don't have them. Ask for them if you don't have them. And if you come to me, I ought to be able to say, all right, I'll remember that one in prayer and give you an opportunity to, you know, if you want to tell me more about it, that's all right. But I don't need to say, well, give me details, you know, because the Lord knows the details. The Lord knows the details. And if you're asking for prayer, I know two things. I know you're needed to help that person, or maybe you're that person that's needing the help. It doesn't make any difference, but I know there's two people there that are needing God's help in a situation. I don't have to know what the need is unless you they need some help. You know, if they want to ask for it, then, and if I've got the tools, then there's something else that I need. But I know that both of you needing the Lord's help, needing some strength, and you needing somebody that you know is reaching up there and the Lord is hearing. Where do you go to whenever you need prayer? Somebody that you know that the Lord has answered prayer before, isn't it? And don't think that your prayer is not answered, but you need that extra help in that prayer time, you know. You go on down and read the rest of James and you'll find about a fervent righteous prayer and that kind of thing that it mentions. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. If we control this old tongue, we'll be helping and making peace, folks. If we control it for God's honor and glory. He's given you that power. He's given you that to be able to say, now's the time to speak. Now's the time to get quiet. He's still working today. He's still moving today. I don't know what he said to you through this Bible Institute, but I'm like Brother Wayne. It has stirred my heart. It has encouraged me. It I've been revived. I've been revived, and I hope it just rubs off on the people that I touch, whether it be at Faith Missionary Baptist Church or on the way home or whatever, that they can see that we've been a week in the presence of good preaching, good people that love one another, good people that are praying for one another, and only good because what God has done for us. We all got this old sin body that we're going to have to deal with, but it's been a great week for me. And after I got through that first day, Brother Wayne, and got past and all, and to hear the good, solid truth preached and all, what a joy it's been. If the Lord has stirred your heart, thank Him for it and praise Him for it and just watch what you can do, what the Lord can do through you, because you've heard His Word. You've heard His Word. Thank you, Brother Wayne, and God bless.